trauma-informed mindfulness, and how can we incorporate mindful movement to support our resilience to stress and trauma, especially during this time. I know as things are opening up and folks are getting vaccinated, many of us are still recovering from the challenges of this past year and are currently still undergoing challenges. And so how can we incorporate mindful movement to support developing that resourcefulness during these times, and then also to support our stillness meditation practice. I wanted to go ahead and begin by just some centering practice that incorporates movement right now. We'll do that for a few minutes, and then I can go ahead and share more about how movement can be incorporated into our practice. I'm going to go ahead and reposition myself to my chair here. So I'm just going to invite us into a little bit of movement. You can go ahead and find a comfortable seat. And if you can go ahead and begin feeling the weight of your feet and the weight of your body on the chair. I'm just going to go ahead and begin with some simple movements, some twists in our chair. So I'm going to invite us to go ahead and, on the next inhalation, taking our arms towards the sky. You can take them as high as you like, whatever that feels good. And then when we exhale, just going ahead and taking the right hand, holding on to the bottom or the back of your chair, whatever you're sitting on, and then taking your left hand outside your right thigh or your right knee, twisting towards the right. You might be going opposite me because of our visual here in Zoom, so just twisting towards the right. And then on the next inhalation, going ahead and taking our arms, raising them as high as they feel good. And then going ahead and twisting towards the other side, left hand reaching for the back of the chair or the bottom of the chair, whatever you're sitting on, and then taking the right hand outside the left knee or thigh and then twisting towards the left. We'll just continue with some movement like that, breathing in. And then exhaling, twisting. Feeling the sensations in the spine as you twist. Inhaling, noticing the arms move through space. And then exhaling, turning. We'll just do one more full round. Breathing in, feeling the weight of your body. And then exhaling, lining breath with movement. Inhaling. And exhaling. After that next exhalation, just going ahead and just gently returning back to a neutral position. Relaxing the shoulders over the hips and relaxing your ears over your shoulders. And if it feels okay, placing one hand on our chest and then one hand on our belly. Just this simple placing of the hands can support calming the nervous system. Turning our attention inward. Just begin feeling the breath as it moves in. And feeling the breath as it moves out. And as you're breathing, just noticing where the body and the breath meet. It might meet at the belly. Perhaps the ribs. Maybe the chest, the throat, perhaps the nostrils. I'm going to invite us into a breathing practice called belly breathing. On the next inhalation, allowing the belly to expand as you breathe in. And allowing the belly to relax towards the spine as you breathe out. Breathing in, the belly expands. And breathing out, the belly relaxes. And just continue moving the belly with your breath. The movements can be big or small, or they might not even be visible to the eye, but just giving permission for the belly to move with your breath. It's the way babies naturally breathe when they're resting. Going ahead and noticing sensations of the belly on the outside. And if it feels okay, feeling sensations of the belly from the inside. I'm going to go ahead and ring this bell. And at the sound of this bell, just going ahead and listening to the sound to the very last trace of sound. And I'm just going to go ahead and invite folks after your next breath out to go ahead and take your sweet time coming back to each other. Cool. Thank you, folks, for practicing. Yeah, again, just wanted to go ahead and explore how trauma-informed mindfulness can support our overall wellness and well-being. You know, I think about the times that this practice has helped me. And, you know, over my lifetime, I've managed different seasons of stress response and my PTSD over time. And, you know, one of the times that come to mind is an experience that I had last summer. And, you know, when we're coming to our meditation practice, sometimes stillness is not necessarily the point of entry to support what our body needs. And when I think about last summer, I think about what was happening at that time for me, just witnessing in the world, you know, the loss of lives to police killings like George Floyd and Breonna Taylor, and then seeing the uprisings during that time. In my own personal life, my mother is in an assisted living home. There's like about 125 residents there. And during this time, there was about 40 COVID cases in a two-week period. That was very intense. And then also at that time, I was going through a very intense, unstable housing situation. And all of that was just reactivating my PTSD, just a lot of traumatic stress in my body. And I do have a regular meditation practice, but during that time, my body had a very difficult time being in stillness meditation. And so My experience was I was either in a very heightened state of anxiety on one end, and then on another end, I was in a very intense state of depression where it was just really hard to get out of bed. So I really leaned on my movement practice to go ahead and support me during that time. For example, the times when I was feeling a lot of anxiety in my body, I would spend a lot of time in this practice called forward folds, where I would go ahead and fold my body, if I was seated or standing, fold my body so that I can go ahead and relax my head below my heart, and that would actually relax my nervous system. And then when I was filled with, you know, dealing with a lot of depression, I would go ahead and lean on a movement called backward bends, where I'm actually energizing the body, opening up the chest, opening up the heart, just to go ahead and stabilize, just to bring my body and my nervous system to a baseline of just feeling a little bit more settled. And then in that way, I can actually enter, after doing a little bit of those movements, and then just listening to the body, then going and moving and transitioning into my stillness meditation practice, where I can actually experience a little bit more steadiness and ease. So I work, you know, I teach at East Bay Meditation Center, I teach at Spear Rock, and I spend a lot of my time facilitating in social justice movement spaces. You know, people who are working on the front lines are, you know, reaching out and needing support on how to manage the collective trauma that we're living in. And that's not only the collective trauma that we're living, but also that whatever's going on in their personal lives and in their home life. And that shows up many times as burnout, you know. And so I don't really actually see a huge distinction between what happens in those social justice movement spaces and what happens in our lives here together as Sangha, you know. I imagine some or many of us can relate to those challenges, if not the people in our lives. So, you know, I just want to acknowledge also my teachers at Niroga Institute, B.K. Bose, and also Rosalyn Nguyen, who I was doing this work for a long time, and their teaching still continue to nourish me and allow me to support folks in the field with these practices. One thing that I want to lift up is that, you know, B.K. talks about in yoga, asana, mindful movement, prepares the body for meditation, and pranayama, breathing techniques, prepares the mind for meditation. So it's a continuation. And honestly, I came to this practice, I came to the Dharma through the yoga door. My body was way too wound up to actually, you know, find my way into stillness meditation off the gate. You know, I needed a mindful embodied movement practice to metabolize all the stress and the trauma in my body so that I can find some steadiness and ease in my meditation practice. And I have found over the years that some, many, if not all of us, at one point or another, can also use the support of this kind of embodied movement practice. I'm going to go ahead and spend about 5 minutes just to review what I covered last time I was here in December. And then I'll go ahead and add just another level of practice to what I had covered. So I'm going to go ahead and share my screen. I'm going to ask my friend Amiko to let me know how everything shows up on you guys' end, on your end. How is this looking, Amiko? Oh, let me see here. Share from this slide. Amiko, does this look normal?
It looks like we can also see the next animation slide.
Oh, okay. How about now?
Beautiful.
Okay, Cool. So just to review, just a brief review of what we covered last time. I won't go too in-depth, but, you know, in our environment, we have stressors. We experience stressors like COVID and, you know, what's happening in our communities, the violence that's happening in our community, especially with our Asian American communities. And then these stressors in our environment affect our brain. And these stressors in our environment affect our brain in 1 to 4 ways primarily. And there's more than this, but I'm just going to just point to that the research shows that there's 4 primary ways in which chronic stress and trauma impact the brain. And one of those ways is it affects our ability to pay attention. And just notice what's true for yourself too. Like, you know, I just invite in mindfulness and awareness practice for yourself, just saying, oh, is this true for me? Or when is it true for me? It impacts empathy, our ability to connect with folks on an emotional level. It impacts our ability to regulate our emotions, you know, just that difference between responding and reacting. And then our ability to cope, you know, what are the choices that we make when we're stressed out? It affects those kinds of choices. We either reach for a bag of Lay's potato chips and watch Netflix all night long and grab a J, or we can go, no judgment too, you know, or take a walk in nature or call up a friend. And then there's also this part of our brain called the prefrontal cortex that's responsible for creativity. We have less access to that part of our brain. And so, you know, when we're affected by these areas of our brain, when we're affected in these areas, it shows up as particular behaviors. And some of the things that I've heard people say, you know, sometimes these behaviors can be, you know, we might be snapping at our loved ones or our friends or people at work, or maybe our behavior might show up as, you know, we might isolate. And then you can just notice for yourself, what are some things that you do when you're impacted in one or more of these ways? And then our behavior then shapes our environment. And usually what I just ask is, you know, do these behaviors increase, decrease the stress in our environment? And I would say a majority of folks say that these behaviors increase the stress in their environment. And then, you know, we want to go ahead and I just invite people to consider a new behavior, which is what we practice here on a weekly basis, is mindfulness practice, which enables us to go ahead and reshape our brain at a neurological, physiological level. It's this quality of the brain that we can take advantage of called neuroplasticity, where, you know, where chronic stress and trauma negatively impact attention, empathy, emotion regulation, and coping, mindfulness practice can actually mitigate the harmful effects of chronic stress and trauma and reshape certain parts of our brain, concrete structures in our brain. For example, like the amygdala, which is responsible for our fight, flight, freeze response. One of my favorite studies just shows how the amygdala actually shrinks when we practice mindfulness on a regular basis, which gives us actually more regulation over those emotions, those difficult emotions like fear and anxiety. And then we also covered this last time. So how does trauma-informed mindfulness work? And the game-changing part of trauma-informed mindfulness and within my practice and when I share it is mindful action, mindful movement. And in this practice that I did just even at the very beginning for 5 minutes, and then we'll explore more later, is just identifying 3 primary elements of practice: mindful action, mindful breathing, and mindful centering. Mindful, you know, there's this saying in the field, the issues are in our tissues. And so with mindful action and mindful movement, we can actually facilitate movement in a way that releases stress and trauma energy and tension from the body, you know. That kind of energy gets caught in our muscles, in our tissues, and in our joints. And when we line movement with breath, we can help facilitate the release from our body. There's also part of our brain called the insula, which is responsible for observing physical sensations in the body. And when we practice mindful movement, we can reactivate the insula, which is typically debilitated by trauma. And we can develop greater awareness in the body. And then the other part is breathing. I invited us to one breathing technique called belly breathing. And when we practice belly breathing, another breathing technique is rhythmic breathing, when we exhale for twice as long. These are very effective ways to activate the relaxation response in our body, which is actually going ahead and recruiting the parasympathetic nervous system, which is responsible for relaxation. And then we have mindful centering, which many of us practice in, which is an instruction in our meditation practice, is present moment-to-moment awareness. So being able to anchor our attention either in the breath or sensations in the body, or where our body's making contact with the floor or the chair, or perhaps sounds in the room. And this practice of centering just allows us to go ahead and, you know, there's this, in one of the ways when I remember just getting burnt out twice during my activist days, you know, there was times where I would be telling myself, I am angry. And then just to be able to, over time, practice, there's a distinction between I am angry versus I am feeling angry. And, you know, when we practice centering, we can move more towards telling ourselves, I feel angry, because centering allows us to really touch into the impermanent nature of our feelings. We don't have to over-identify with our emotional states, that these states too shall pass. That's what I covered the first time. So I wanted to go ahead and just gradually look into another level of practice. And that part is, you know, when I talk about mindful movement, we can actually go a little bit further and just notice that there are particular movements that have particular effects. And I actually just shared that briefly earlier, but I want to just go ahead and share it in a visual so that, you know, it might, I know that's, there's visual learners, and that can also be helpful. So, you know, like I mentioned during last summer, when I was feeling a lot of anxiety, I would practice forward folds. You know, how can I go ahead and practice folding my body at the waist where my head is resting below my heart? And that has a calming effect on the nervous system. And then twists, we did some twists this morning as an opening, and that can have a relaxing effect on the body. As well as in yoga, we talk about twists as cleansing, because another benefit of twists other than relaxing is that twists can also release toxins from our organs. And when we, it's like if you think about a dirty wet rag, and then you're twisting all the dirty water out of it. It's kind of like that. Just being able to twist and release, you know, squeezing the organs to release toxins and to create circulation in the body. And then backward bends and chest openers have an energizing effect. So when I'm feeling sad, not to like avoid sadness or not to avoid feeling hopeless times or feeling grief, if it feels really hard and feels overwhelming, I can actually, you know, integrate backward bends to energize the body, just to make those difficult emotions and feelings a little bit more manageable. And then balancing poses, such as just if you were to practice balancing on one leg. One of my teachers, Don Mauricio, if standing is not an option, there's also a way to go ahead and balance on your chair by lifting your feet off the floor so that you're balancing on your butt on the chair. that's a way to balance, and that supports focusing and concentration when we can feel really distracted at times during moments of stress. I'm going to go ahead and share a protocol, a specific protocol, and I'll go ahead and demonstrate some of these when we actually get into practice. But you know, some of the ways, if we wanted to go ahead and just really create a supportive, and then before I begin sharing this, I just want to also say that I'm sharing this in a general way, knowing that our bodies are so diverse, you know. So I just really want to invite folks to, if you experiment with these practices, just really lean on your own body's wisdom. And one way to go ahead and do that is just, does this feel nourishing to me? You know, and then continue and adjust based on what your body's telling you. But so if we look at trauma-informed mindfulness and mindful action, mindful breathing, and mindful centering, here's one that we can experiment with anxiety. Again, mindful action with a standing or sitting forward bend. And then the breathing practice here is left nostril breathing. In yoga, we can actually calm the nervous system by focusing on breathing through the left nostril. I can't see you all right now, but if you want to go ahead and practice, I can go ahead and just demonstrate briefly. So if you use your right thumb, if you want to try this with me, and then close your right nostril, you want to go ahead and inhale through the left nostril. Close the left nostril with your ring finger or a pinky, and then exhale through the right nostril. Close the right nostril with your right thumb. Inhale through the left. Close the left, and then exhale through the right. And just do that for two more rounds. And then after those two rounds, you can just notice just how the body feels. And like with all practice, it's not like a pill that you take and then we automatically shift our state. It takes consistency and practice. And you know, just some of us can actually also feel the benefit in the moment. And there's a wide range of experience around this. Centering. Again, you know, you can focus on a point while in a balance pose. I put tree pose here, but really it's just any kind of balance pose. And then focusing on a point on the floor or on the wall that's not moving. You can copy this or take a screenshot, just if this is supportive for you all, if you want to try it later on your own. And depression protocol, you know, I actually created a slide that said low energy state protocol. I'm not sure why it's didn't save, but I would just say just low energy states in general, not necessarily has to be specifically depression. Again, the mindful action could be a backward bend, a dynamic back bend, which I'll actually demonstrate later, and then right nostril breathing. I'll invite us to go ahead and do that now. So going ahead and closing your left nostril with your left thumb, and you can go ahead and inhale through the right nostril. Close the right nostril and exhale through the left. Inhale through the right. And exhale through the left. At your own pace for a couple rounds. And then after you're done with those couple rounds, just taking a moment to pause and feel. And just noticing what you're noticing. And then the centering element in this protocol is just is watching the breath. Cool. Thank you all for trying that out. I might have shared this in the last practice, in the last time I was here. I just really love it, so I'll go ahead and share it again. I'm just wondering if we can get another voice here. Can I have a friend just read this and unmute yourself if anybody's open and willing?
I can. Can you all hear me?
I could hear you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the body, not the thinking brain, is where we experience most of our pain, pleasure, and joy, and where we process most of what happens to us. It is also where we do most of our healing, including our emotional and psychological healing. And it is where we experience resilience and a sense of flow. Resma Menachem from my grandmother's hands.
Yeah. Thank you. What is your name?
Deja.
Deja. Thank you, Deja, for reading that. Okay, great. Maybe I might show one more. Let's see. Okay, I'll do this one more. Last one. So just as a recap, you know, when we're looking at, and the reason why I talk about science, you know, because I'm both in secular social justice spaces and in Dharma spaces, the place where science and Dharma and yoga meet is a doorway to go ahead and connect with folks who are from various different lifestyles and backgrounds. And that's primarily, it's been a way to connect with folks on, especially who are new to practice, to just have them consider, you know, these ancient practices. So neuroscience really emphasizes mindfulness to reshape the brain. And the trauma research really emphasizes that movement supports the healing of trauma in our bodies. And somatic psychology, by integrating, you know, our mind, our emotional life, and body through movement, that integration, we are able to go ahead and increase our overall emotion regulation. So I'm going to go ahead and stop sharing for now. And I talked a lot, and I'll be talking a little bit more, but this time I want to invite us to more practice, more movement practice, and leading us from movement to stillness. You can go ahead and practice either seated or standing. It's up to you. I'm just going to add some movement here with my arms. And I'm just going to invite us to go ahead and take our arms towards shoulder height, breathing in. And then when we exhale, just going ahead and letting the arms flop towards the floor. And then using your exhalation, when you let your hands flop towards the floor, so inhale as they come up and then exhale as they come down. And if you're standing, you can also bend at the knees if you're standing as option A. And whatever option you're choosing, just going ahead and noticing the air brush against your skin. And using your exhalation to release any tension from the body. You can move slow or you can move fast. And then go ahead and do three more. And then after those three, just going ahead and let go of the movement to receive stillness. And noticing the sensations in your arms, your hands, and your fingertips, if that feels okay. And Also notice if there's any difference in the way you're breathing. A movement that I had talked about where we can practice forward folds if we're kind of experiencing anxiety, we can practice that right now. So either seated or standing, going ahead and inhaling, taking your arms high. And then as you exhale, go ahead and begin folding forward. You can fold forward and then your hands can either rest on your shins, your thighs or your shins, or they can go ahead and rest on your ankles or maybe the floor, letting the head relax. And then on the next inhalation, just going in and slowly rolling up one vertebrae at a time. Letting the head come up last. Let's do that one more. This time I'll go ahead and demonstrate from the chair. So go ahead and taking our arms high, breathing in. And then exhaling, folding forward. The hands can rest on the thighs, the shins, the ankles, or the floor, letting the head relax. And then slowly coming up one vertebra at a time, inhaling. Letting the head come up last. And just taking a moment to pause and feel and just noticing the effects of that movement on the body. More energy, calming energy, just noticing. And a big important part of our practice is observing with curiosity and observing with kindness. I'm going to invite us to focus on our shoulders. So the shoulders is one of the biggest joints in our body, which tends to be, sometimes when we're feeling stress and traumatic stress, can be a storehouse for that energy. So I'm going to invite us to go ahead and take our ears to our shoulders, breathing in on the inhale. And then when we exhale, relax and release the shoulders. You can relax them slow or fast. Inhaling. And exhaling at your own pace. A few rounds at your own pace. I'm doing two more rounds. And after those two rounds, just going ahead and relaxing them and feeling them. Another direction our shoulders can move in. Let's go ahead and draw our shoulders back, breathing in, lifting the heart towards the sky, inhaling, squeezing the shoulder blades, and then exhaling, roll the shoulders forward. Inhaling, shoulders back. Exhaling, shoulders forward. If you want to open up the neck, here's another option. Inhaling, shoulders back, and then look towards the sky, breathing in. And then exhale, shoulders forward, bring the chin towards the chest. Inhaling, shoulders back, looking towards the sky. And exhaling, shoulders forward, chin towards chest. After that, just going ahead and slowly coming back to neutral. Relaxing and releasing. I talked about dynamic bends. if we're in low energy states. I'm going to go ahead and demonstrate that now. You can practice seated. I'm just alternating between standing and seated for folks to know that we can practice in either position. If you're practicing seated, you might want to go ahead and sit at the edge of your chair. I'm going to go ahead and just give you a little bit of a side view to go ahead and show the dynamic bend this way. Inhaling, taking our arms towards the sky, breathing in. And then as we exhale, interlacing the fingers behind your back as much as comfortable. And then from here, inhaling, drawing the hands down, squeezing the shoulder blades, and then lifting your heart towards the sky, inhaling. And then exhaling, relaxing the arms by your side. Inhaling the arms high, breathing in. Exhaling, interlacing the fingers. Inhaling, squeezing the shoulder blades, lifting the heart. Exhaling, relaxing the arms by our side. We'll do that one more round, and then on the third round, we'll hold the back bend for a couple breaths. Breathing in. Exhale, interlacing. Inhaling, lifting the heart, squeezing the shoulder blades. We'll hold here for three breaths. Inhale. Exhale. Inhale. Exhale. Breathe in. And breathing out. Releasing the arms by our side. Cool. Go ahead and come back to our seat. And I'm going to practice this breathing technique, which I mentioned earlier before, called rhythmic breathing. But we're going to do that with movement. So I'm going to invite us to take our palms to our chest. On the next inhalation, inhaling at the count of three, arms expanding, chest widening, breathing in. And then we'll exhale at the count of six, just giving yourself a hug. Inhaling three, arms wide. Exhaling six. A couple more rounds at your own pace. Inhaling three and then exhaling six at your own pace. You can use a 2-4 or a 4-8 ratio if you like, just letting the exhalation be long. And after you're done with those two rounds, just going ahead and finding a place for the arms to relax. Placing one hand on our chest and one hand on our belly. If that feels okay. Always knowing that, you know, everything that I'm offering are just suggestions, and you can jump on and off the tour whenever you feel like it. On the next inhalation, transitioning back to belly breathing, inhaling at the when the belly expands. And exhaling as the belly relaxes. At your own pace, allowing the belly to move with the breath. I'm going to go ahead and invite us to add rhythm to our breath. On the next inhalation, inhaling at the count of three, the belly expands. And exhaling at the count of six, the belly relaxes. Inhaling three, the belly expands. Exhaling six, the belly relaxes. We're combining belly breathing and rhythmic breathing in one. You can use the 2-4 ratio or 4-8 ratio if you like, allowing the exhalation to be long. On the next exhalation, coming back to the natural pace of your breath, letting the breath feel natural, relaxing the hands, the arms, wherever they feel good. As we transition into stillness meditation, I want to go ahead and invite us into a practice of karuna, compassion, and equanimity. These compassion phrases is what I learned from one of my teachers, Dara Williams. You can go ahead and say them silently to yourself if they resonate for you. And you can go ahead and modify them in any way that feels nourishing for you. May I find stillness in the midst of change. May I find peace in the midst of struggle. May I find softness in the midst of resistance. May I rest in compassion. May I rest in compassion. I'd like to offer some equanimity phrases that I learned from one of my teachers, Conda Mason. May I embrace life with stillness and calm. May I fully accept this moment, just as it is. May my heart be a home for spaciousness and balance. Expanding our awareness to include any sounds that you might hear in your room or in your space. Whether your eyes are closed or halfway closed, noticing what you see. Perhaps shades of light, patterns, shapes. Noticing what you smell. Perhaps a strong scent. A subtle scent. Perhaps nothing at all. Noticing what you taste. Maybe something you ate earlier. Something you drank earlier. Noticing how dry or how moist the mouth feels. Observing with curiosity, observing with kindness, expanding our awareness to include anything we feel in terms of just even the sensation of the air against your skin. Does the air feel cool? Does it feel warm? Feeling the texture of your clothes, perhaps smooth or rough. Including the breath. Feeling the breath as it moves in. And feeling the breath as it moves out. And as you're feeling the breath, just observing with curiosity which is longer. The in-breath or the out-breath? Expanding the awareness to include the pauses between our breaths. Noticing when the inhalation turns into the exhalation. And noticing when the exhalation turns into the inhalation. Resting in the pauses. In that place of possibility. just continue in this way for some time. A couple options here. You can continue anchoring your attention on the breath. On sounds that are rising moment to moment. Or where your body's making contact with the floor, with the earth, or the chair. Just choosing an anchor that will support your steadiness and ease. Always know you can practice sitting, standing, or lying down as the Buddha taught, as well as walking. And if the mind at any time wanders or gets distracted, no worries. Just gently circle the attention back inward. We can start over at any time. All good. like to go ahead and transition to closing this part of our practice. With metta, and if they resonate with you, please and practice them silently with yourself. May I be safe and protected from inner and outer harm. May I be healthy and strong in mind, body, heart, and spirit. May I live with ease and well-being. May I find true freedom and true happiness. Thank you all for your practice. Just want to go ahead and offer some dedication of merit if you all are still open for the next minute or so. May the merit generated through our practice, may Black, Indigenous, and people of color in this country and throughout our world thrive physically, emotionally, mentally, economically, culturally, and spiritually. May BIPOC everywhere be fully accepted and loved for who they are in this moment. May all injustices, harm, and oppression be repaired and healed. May all beings be held in the arms of compassion. May peace, love, and justice prevail in our world. May all beings in all directions, without exceptions, be free from suffering. May all beings be free.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.